Welcome to the second preseason episode of the Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
How you going, mate?
Good, thanks. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked and there's three games.
Footy's back. Played.
Yes, footy's back. Started with Geelong and Collingwood and thoroughly enjoyed that match. Got to say, Mark, it feels like, apart from the Hawks-Lions game, the other two games seem like the clubs are taking it a bit more seriously now that they have one less game to play with up in the lead-up to the season. It looks like they want to be hitting the season in form, and so it's a little bit more of an exciting watch than NAB Challenge games.
Yeah, it's funny because there's less up for grabs. There's no grand finals to play for or anything like that, and teams are taking it more seriously.
So we could talk about the three games for most of the show, but we reckon we're going to look at some midfield premiums instead and then look at how much time we have left and then run through the last three games if we have time. But if not, we'll lump it into the next show. So midfield premiums is the go this week, and I guess the first thing we should start with is Ablett, Pendlebury, or both.
Good question. Eventually, the answer is going to be don't start with Ablett. Eventually, he's going to sort of move more into the forward line and he can't keep up this scoring forever. I personally don't think that this year is the year to be doing that. His high scores are so good that it's hard not to pick him. Gold Coast have a decent draw at the start of the year. They should be improving. So even if he spends a little bit more time forward, His skills in front of goal are so good that you'd think that he'd be able to maintain his scoring. And I thought that before the teams came out that this might be the year that I didn't pick Ablett, but no one's had a look. I can't not pick him.
Yeah, I thought that too, Mark, but it's going to be tough, especially they're both, Pendlebury and Ablett, have a round 8 bye. So
that's where it gets tricky.
If you're hoping that you could sort of take a bit more of a wait and see and maybe trade out Ablett after round 8 if he's not quite performing, that doesn't work out.
And Beams is an absolute lock, given his scoring history and where he started last year and how he's looked so far. So that's another round 8 premium that you have into your team. So definitely becomes tricky taking both of them. And maybe this is the year to pick between the two. And you think the Pendles would be a fair chance for the Brownlow. He's got a better consistency rate than Ablett, even if he doesn't have quite the same rate of high scoring as Gary does. So yeah, I think that I'd take Ablett out of the two. And I think I'm going to struggle to start with both of them. What do you think?
Pendlebury's captain now. Does that add some sort of scoring to Pendlebury? We know that he already tries his guts out and he's super consistent, but you would think now that he's leading the team out every week, he's the sort of player that can deliver extra points on that sort of drive, maybe.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to matter whether he gets tagged, and he came on halfway through the second quarter against the Cats and scored 95. So he's definitely, you'd think he'd still continue with his scoring rate, and out of anyone could go up another level and could end up averaging higher than Ablett. I think that the aim is going to be you're going to want both of these guys into your team before the end of the year. It's just the round 8 bye that really seems to get in the way.
And you're hoping that you can pick one of them up at not such an astronomical price.
I mean, Pendles is probably the least likely to drop in price. Ablett is more likely to have sub 100 game here or there. But then Collingwood have more people to share the points with. They have a tougher draw earlier in the year. So that just leans to me that if I only take one, it'll probably be Ablett. I'd really like to take two if it wasn't for the buyers. And I'm not certain that I won't take Pendlebury.
I'm a little bit more on the fence, Mark, because I think you sold me a pretty good story on Pendlebury. But yeah, it's hard to pass up on the name Gary Ablett.
The potential to go massive, I think, is what has me drawn towards Gary, because he can post the 200 games that you probably don't see from Pendles, because, Collingwood just have such a deep midfield, I guess.
Okay, now on to perhaps slightly easier topics, easier players to discuss. Next on the list is another teammate of Pendlebury's, Dane Swan. Now, we talked about Beams being a lock, Pendlebury being very, very, very close. Does that mean that Swan just sort of gets crossed off the list automatically, or...?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're playing one of the other games like Dream Team, then you might consider Swanee ahead of Pendles. But for Supercoach, you'd take Pendles ahead of Swan, and yeah, you're probably limited into how many of them you can have. Unless you want to set up your team where you're just going to completely fail in round 8, not go for overall and smash your leagues, then I think you just have to take Pendlebury ahead of Swan.
Next up, the man who spent his first few years following in the shadows of Gary Ablett, and that's Joel Selwood. Last year, absolutely smashed it on the run home and got close in the Brownlow. How do you think Selwood will do this year? Is he an auto pickup, or is it too hard to have too many of those players in that price bracket?
Yeah, probably is. Is there concerns with his injury? And I say he's going to be ready for round one, but he has missed a bit of the preseason. So maybe Selwood might be someone that you're looking to trade in.
He did finish with the third highest average in the midfield, though, and finished.
And if you take out the first half of the season, then the average would be even higher.
But you're right, Mark, with the injury concerns and at this price point, it will be tough for people to actually pick him into their sides. I'd assume that those who will be choosing the forfeit, either one of Ablett or Pendlebury, unless you're choosing to stack your midfield with a lot of cash. Yeah, it'll be a tough sell, but I'm a big fan of Joel.
You'd be looking to get him into your team. I think you'd want Selwood in your final team after the season that he had last year. And just, I mean, he was getting tagged and still completely destroying games. You'd definitely want him in your team at some stage, and hopefully he gets cheap again, a bit like he did last year.
All right, next player is Ryan Griffin from Bulldogs. Also has a bit of injury concerns heading into round one, but should play round one. Is that right, Mark?
That's the expectation. He'll miss the NAB Cup, be back for the start of the season. New captain for the Doggies? That might be a bit like Pendles. You might see a bit of extra performance out of him as a result, and the Doggies looked really good in the second half of last year, so it'll be interesting to see how they can perform this year. With such an even competition, they get a few favours from the draw, then they might be able to do okay.
Was he at the top averaging player for some parts of the season last year, Ryan Griffin?
I think for a section of the season, about like a 5 or 6 week period, for sure.
That's impressive to take that mantle at any point, I think, so got to look pretty closely at him. I know one of our former regulars, Faz, really loved Ryan Griffin, one of his all-time favourite players. So I have a sneaking suspicion he might fit into Faz's team somewhere.
Really hard to keep him down in games. Like, even if he has a slow first half, he can really build and just destroy a half of football and get those 130s, 140s. I think given the injury leading into it, given the fact that these spots are so competitive for the premier midfielders, that's probably enough to make me a bit gun-shy on Griffin and just think that if you're going to be picking these premier midfielders and you've probably only got 2, 3, 4 spots for them, then you want them to be coming off great pre-seasons.
Libba started to kill it last year, and you would think Mitch Wallace hopefully makes another step up. It'd be interesting to see if at any point maybe even Libba takes the tag from Griffin and then watch him really unleash.
Yeah, I think Libba seems to get most of his points from the inside role, so probably going to be a bit harder to tag than Griffin, who gets a bit more outside ball. So from that perspective, you'd think that you'd just tag Griffin. Libba's a real interesting one, though. He had a real breakout season last year, averaging 107 in just his third year. That's like superstar sort of average. So he showed a couple of times that he was able to post over 130. I think he did that like 5 or 6 times last year with a couple over 150. So Libba's an interesting one. If he can get some consistency, then he could tear a season apart and average 115.
He was already the 15th highest averaging midfielder for the year, and that was off the back of a later season breakout. So
yeah, really a fairly quiet start to the year, but just destroyed the end of the year.
And you talked about his untaggability, Mark, so that'll be interesting to see how he goes this year. I assume that it'll be a pretty tough sell considering the number of options around that price range, and he'll head to them soon, players like Kieran Jack and Nathan Fyfe.
You would think, given the start to his career, you would think in a couple of years, Liver's going to be in a lot of Supercoach teams.
To a player from the Bombers, Mark, Joby Watson, what do you reckon? Give me the hard sell.
Well, I find it bit hard to pick the Bombers, and I don't want to talk them up too much because it's sort of hard to separate hope.
What? You don't hope want to reality. Talk them up too much. Last show you said Hurley for All Australian. I think the ship has sailed on that one.
Yeah, and Melton might have a pretty good year this year as well. Averaging 111 last year, 120 the year before, so you would think that he's underpriced. He's still young enough to be at the top of his game. Bombers should have a huge season. There's a good chance that he's not going to cop the number one tag every week with players like Stanton and Heppel and Zaharakis that teams might think are a bit more taggable than Joby's. So injury and sub-affected. Remember when Westhoff hit him in the Port Adelaide game and took him out really early, and Joby only scored 24. So that has had an influence on his price, shown that he can score really big. Yeah, there's plenty of reasons to be picking Joby. Even when he came back from the collarbone injury, he posted 500s in a row in an Essendon team that started struggling later in the year. So there's definitely plenty of reasons to pick Joby. And I think that you'd consider putting him in the category of, or just below the Pendlebury-Ablett sort of level. And so because Ablett and Pendlebury are sharing the bye and Jobe doesn't, that you might actually pick one of Ablett and Pendlebury and then put Jobe into that number two slot.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's that rung with Selwood and just below Gary and Scott. So to be honest, he was the third guy that I was looking at in that premium category range directly after Ablett Pendlebury. So I was a bit surprised that you weren't selling him a bit harder. I know you probably don't want to get hopes up too much, but with that with that injury affected game, and I've had my doubts on him in the past, but he's just so consistent because he's that inside player, but he can get outside too. I think I saw that quite a few teams tagged a lot of other players instead of Jobe because they just gave up on doing that. I think even Heppel got tagged ahead of Jobe in the finish to last
towards year. The end of the year, yeah.
So,
but that said, Jobe, he did get tagged a couple of times last year where his scores were significantly affected. Won a game against Carlton where he scored a 79, and against Fremantle he scored 67. So there is a potential that he could get tagged out of games. And I think, yeah, there's a game against Western Sydney where Townsend went on him and he scored just 66. So he does have a bit of a fluctuating score, which can be a bit of an issue. He's not super consistent, but yeah, he's right at that elite level, and if the Bombers can get off to a hot start, Jobe might be able to as well.
They're going to be so hungry, the Bombers, especially led by their captain too. I don't know. I'm really, really keen on Watson this year, and I haven't really been in the past few years, but he looks mighty tempting this year to me, Mark.
Trying to keep a little bit of a lid on it, man.
Alright, now to Fremantle, Mark, which I reckon is really interesting because we know they're going to play really well again this year, and they've got a few midfield options that are good. So let's look at Barlow, Fife, and Mundy. Who do you like out of the three? Well, they're pricing 593 for Barlow, 574 for Fife, and 559 for Mundy. So all pretty close to each other.
And that's how that pretty much went for most of last year as well. Barlow's the consistent one.
He's the one that doesn't get tagged.
There's not as much point tagging Barlow. I guess they think that he's less likely to be a match winner than the other two, which can just help his average a little bit. And it was great to see him play almost a full season last year. That's two in a row. So, yeah, really showed some great fitness coming into his fifth season. Out of the three, Fife seems the most likely to win the Brownlow. In that sense, he seems the most likely to average 120. He might cop a tag, but Mundy will take that off him at some games. Has disposal issues, but also has a huge ceiling as well. So the one thing we didn't really see from him last year was those really, really big games. 138 was his highest score. I think Fife has bigger games than that in him. I think he has the 150 pluses that he can get. So if you're going on ceiling, which you may as well with those three, because they're all probably going to do pretty well, if you're going to start one, personally, I'd take Nathan Fife.
Agree with you there, Mark. Like you said, if he didn't get much bigger scores than that, Barlow, while being untagged, you wouldn't think that that's probably sort of where he's going to stay this year. And yeah, Fife is the one that has the most promise. But Mundy, though, he's averaged 115 in the past for certain stretches before he got injured 1 year, I think. And, you know, that would put him in the top eight midfielders from last year.
Yeah, Mundy's a great pick as well, I think. If Fremantle are going to be a top two team, I think at least one of those guys will average 115 for the year.
On to Trent Cotchin, Mark, former love child of the show last year, started really strong and we were really up and about, weren't we, Mark? So pleased with ourselves, and then just really tapered off and injury affected his season. His knee wasn't quite right the whole year, but 106, 21st highest averaging midfielder for the year, just really wasn't good enough for Cotchin and served to drag us down in the end, those that kept him.
Yeah, it did. And he did start off with a bang last year, and then I think it was in the Fremantle game where he hyperextended his knee a little bit. Was never quite the same after that. Still posted some decent scores throughout the year. I kind of wonder what his ceiling is. Like, you kind of think that he has the potential to be the next Ablett, but because of his disposal efficiency not being quite so good, unless he can significantly improve that, does he have the potential to jump up to a 125 average? I think that you're probably likely to see a 115 to 120 average from him, which is significant value at his price. But yeah, I'm certainly not as bullish this year about him.
You've given up your love child already, Mark, after one failed season. Go harder. Cotchin again, 2014. Bring it on.
I haven't given up on him completely. And I love having him in my team, and I hate not having him in my team.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
He's going to struggle to get into it just because there's a fair few good rookies in the midfield or players that are in their second and third season that are about that 200,000 mark. I think you have to probably fit a fair few of them into them, so you've got limited spot. they do have a pretty good draw to start the year. They got 5 fairly early games in those first 9 weeks. So, yeah, I'm just not sold on him this year, mate. I can understand why people would pick him, and I'm going to probably make every effort to get him in my team at some stage.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like if this was the year, last year we paid a pretty good price for him. It's hard to pick a player after they've dropped a bit, but he's still a captain. He's still super talented. There's no reason he can't really get back up there. And we assume that Richmond are going to improve again this year. Whether or not they get into the eight, they should play better team football. Yeah. I think around...
You think Hodgson to kick more goals? Like, he really, really struggled with goals last year. I think he kicked 4 for the year or something stupid, whereas kicked a significant amount of goals the year before. So if you can improve his goal count, then that's where you're going to see the difference in average with Kochi, I think.
And I think you make a really good point about his ceiling, and probably goals really relates to that, especially when you look at Selwood, and he used to have similar issues before last year, just really kicked on. So yeah, Koch just, he doesn't have the big games to make up for his poor games, and that really saw his average sort of flounder a bit. So yeah, I guess... You know, with a player like him, especially if he's not a huge scorer, he's probably one that you're not so inclined to have to start. Yeah, it'll be a tough sell, you're right. All right, now, Jack Stephen from last year, it was a total surprise to me when I scrolled down and saw he was the 11th highest averaging midfielder with 110 average last year. And
massive breakout.
Just did not realize. He just kept creeping up there, getting more and more solid. And now I really understand why he got the tag over Dow. So, I mean, St Kilda just got hard to watch last year. So I have to admit, not watching too many of the games, especially in the finish. Mark, did you watch much of him when he started taking the tag? How did he deal with that?
Yeah, it's a bit the same as you, mate. It's sort of some of those games were a bit less interesting towards the end of the year. But in the last round, he got tagged by Crowley and scored 157. Tagged against Carlton by Armfield, 127. So he did seem to deal with the tag all right. And still posted some decent scores. Lowest score of the year, he had a couple of 78s, but they were early in the year, and lowest score after round 7 was 89. So I don't expect much of that of St Kilda this year. I would want my premium midfielders to be coming from top 8 sides, and preferably even top 5 or 6 sides if you can do that. I know that Griffin was from a lower side last year and did quite well, and there are exceptions to the rule, but I think that I want my premium midfielders to be coming from winning teams that get a bigger share of the Supercoach pie.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with you there, Mark. And I always find it hard to pick a player fresh off such a hot breakout because it feels like they tend to be a bit more risky, maybe a bit overpriced. But, you know, there's no reason he can't do it again, but it's just hard to see. Even a 110 average from a St Kilda Blast player last year is impressive in itself.
And you wouldn't think that anyone from St Kilda is going to average more than 115 this year. And Dell's not there, so that's even more attention going on him. So.
And I mean, Joe Watson's only 7,000 more at that price.
If you're a St Kilda supporter, maybe for a bit of fun, pick Jackson.
Maybe for a bit of fun. Okay, I think that wraps up his talk then. All right, Kieran Jack, Mark, also priced very similarly, 589.
110 for the last 2 years, played 22 games in each year. Yeah, has definitely the ability to do quite well and probably the sort of player that could go on a decent run for 6 to 10 games. And if that's at the start of the season, then you'd be pretty happy. I doubt you're going to be too disappointed. You'd think he's probably going to average about the same this year. Yeah, he could go up a little bit. I think the thing holding him back potentially, and that doesn't necessarily happen to Collingwood, is just the spread of points this one's. There's a lot of good players to be getting the points.
And a lot of young kids as well that steal a lot more points than maybe at Collingwood, because the difference between their best midfielders and their worst is probably a lot less stark than at Collingwood.
Swans run about 10 deep in the midfield.
Next player, who do we have left? Oh, Josh Kennedy, another teammate of Kieran Jack. So he's actually pretty darn cheap this year, Mark. He's cheaper than Cochin. 105.4 was his average. So he's 568,000 this year.
Okay, what did we pay at the start of last year? Like 630-ish? And a lot of people paid that.
Yep.
Showing that he can go on huge, huge runs and score really, really big. Pretty hard to tag, really. I kind of felt last year that maybe he was a bit more team-orientated and would sort of run his player away from the ball and just sort of do those team-orientated things rather than just try and dominate games.
Do you see the article that came out only a few days ago, I think? He said that he was injury-affected most of last year and that he's flying this preseason. Is that good enough to sort of bring in a player that's dropped 13 points in average or something like that?
Well, yeah, he averaged 119, so very much underpriced. I think Sydney got a pretty decent start to the year. Might be a good job alternative. because he was in like that elite category at the start of last year. That our thinking was that he was in that super elite category.
And people still held on to that even as his price dropped.
It's hard to talk him up too much after getting burnt by him last year, I guess. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see him come out and average 120 again, though. He's just his big body in midfield. He can take a contested mark, kick goals, get plenty of clearances. Yeah, really, really quality player and really good for Supercoach.
I mean, he's certainly more attractive than Cochin, I would say, at the similar price range.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, next player we're going to look at is Nicky Del Santo. So we're getting to the slightly cheaper players now. I think we did cover Del Santo in the last show, our first show, when we talked about players who swapped clubs.
Interesting to see him have a run around today. All reports are he's killing it in the preseason. I know everyone is at the moment, but there's pretty high wraps on him so far at North.
Is he a bit more of a wait and see, look how his preseason goes, Mark?
I don't know. Like, I think you know what you're getting from Nicky Dell. I don't think you'd read too much into preseason form. If they say that he's fit, and then I don't think you'd read too much into his scores. Like, you know what he can produce.
His dynamic with their midfield, though, because I think a lot of people are looking at, you know, even Cunnington and Zeeble this year.
They are. And I do actually like these value cheaper midfielders. I think there's a few around, which is why I guess this is why I'm reluctant to talk up too many of the really high-priced premiums, because you can't fit too many in and then have some of these just slightly cheaper value premiums. And then even if you look a little bit lower than that, in the 450 and below range, there's some decent ones around there that would be tough to pick in that price range. But yeah, I think there's a fair bit of value that could be had in the midfield, and I'd like to see a fair few coaches taking a punt on at least one or two of these guys.
Let's talk about Cunnington Zeeble then. How do you feel they'll perform in relation to Dow?
Jeez, that's a good question. When I first picked my Supercoach team for the season, Zeeble was in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was the one that I was going to take a punt on. And like I said, I think we should all be taking a punt on one of these players. Cunnington had a brilliant second half to the season. Zeeble worries me with his ability to get injured or suspended, and he said that he's not going to change the way he plays. I think Zeeble's the up-and-comer, and I probably rate Zeeble the highest in what the player that he's going to become. Yeah, I guess that I had Jack Zeeble out of the three that I would take a punt on, but I think that most people in that situation would probably punt on Del Santo.
And I guess it's a bit harder to take a punt on these younger kids when North again have that round 8 bye. It'd be more comfortable if they had that round 9 or round 10, and maybe could look to side swap to a fallen ultra premium or something like that. But,
yeah, so from that perspective, none of those guys are likely to make my team.
Okay, then. On to Jane Beam, who you talked up before, Mark. You just have him as a lock, then?
I would not. Unless he gets injured, he could, like, ruin your season if you don't have him. And, like, seriously, he could. And given his price, I very much doubt that he will destroy your season if you do have him. Unless he gets injured round 3 and scores a 5, there's not a whole lot could go terribly, terribly wrong. Just think that his ceiling is so big, which we've seen before. Even when he came back at the end of last year, he posted some really big scores. Yeah, just don't even think about it. Put him in your team.
You got to just look at the end of last year. He came back and played how many? 2, 4, 6, 8 games, including the finals. Kicked 6 goals, and his possession counts go 25, 34, 37, 27, 32, 25, 19, 29. And I think the year before, when he did play really well, it was a bit of a surprise because his preseason was limited and we weren't expecting him to build like the way he did, but he just absolutely exploded. So I think you just got to lock it in. You're right, Mark. I was sort of umming and ahhing a bit because when you lock Beamsy in and you're looking at Pendlebury and there's also Swan there, it makes it really, really hard. And I did want to be quite critical of the selection because these sorts of players you do tend to just tick off and not think about, and sometimes it's a bit dangerous to do that. But there's no point overthinking this one. He's just an absolute jet.
Yeah.
Mark Murphy is another player who's similarly priced, I think, only 1,000 more. And last year, he struggled, was it, with a hip?
Nay.
Okay. Is he also another one that is in a similar category, or he doesn't quite have that scoring potential? I mean, Mark Murphy used to be reliable for 110 average, didn't he? And he'd always score above 100. And
he had that super long stretch where even when he was getting tagged, he'd just score 100 minimum every single week. I think that now that he's captain, there's a bit more attention goes to him and they see him as the most damaging midfielder, so cops a bit more of a tag. His averages in the years before, he'd had like 4 seasons over 110 with 118 as his highest average in that period, and then went down to 92 last year. So you're getting what should be 110 average plus player if he's fit. And last season was because he, like in the preseason, he had a knee injury and he just didn't get to run right through the preseason, and it really restricted him all year. He has a couple of games against the Bombers this year and he always destroys us. So there you can lock in a couple of 160s there. I can't see him averaging less than 105, and I'd be very surprised if he averaged less than 110. So from that perspective, I actually do think that he is a lock, maybe not quite the Beams type lock, but I haven't had any draft teams this preseason without Mark Murphy in it. He's super coach gold sort of player. He's disposal efficiency, goal kicking. Yeah, really hard to lock down on. I hate talking up Carlton players, but
I should note for our listeners out there that for those of you who haven't followed us for too long, he is a former love child of Mark as well, I think.
He was not quite in the Cochin category.
Not quite,
but he was
right
up there. And I think I got burned from him last year somehow. I can't remember what happened, but even though that happened, he is a bit of a love child.
Mm. At the moment, I'm sort of in the same boat as you, Mark. It's hard to see him not on your team. And two, they got Daisy Thomas on board now, so maybe he'll take off some of that outside attention that Mark Murphy got, because we know Daisy can be quite damaging as well.
Maybe if Daisy can be fit and play what Carlton are paying him for, then yeah. We will talk about the mid-prices in another show. There's a fair few mid-prices across the field that we'll be looking at. So we'll talk about Daisy in a later show. Unfortunately, he is not playing in Ballarat today. They say it's a chest infection or something. So I don't know whether that's true or not.
Now, Shuey's the last player on this list before we probably head into murkier mid-price waters. So this will wrap up our premium midfield section. Luke Shuey played 14 games last year, averaged 90.7.
Hasn't played full season, though. 19 games for 102 or 103, really, in 2012 when the Eagles did quite well. You'd be pretty keen to get West Coast players into your team. They got the round 9 bye. They have a really good draw. Start off with Bulldogs, Melbourne, St Kilda in the first 3 weeks. From that perspective, picking some sort of West Coast player is probably going to be a good idea. I think that there's so many teams that are really even this year that they are going to be separated to some extent by the draw. So from that perspective, I'd really like to take a punt on a West Coast midfielder or two. I'm not sure whether I'll be able to, because it is hard to work out who to actually pick. Pritis has been the highest scorer in the past. Scott Selwood's been a really top scorer, but he said a couple of weeks ago that he's going to be doing a lot more tagging this year, even though he can score quite well as a tagger. So next on that list is really Shuey. With that said, there's no Kerr this year, and Shuey's average when Kerr is in the team is significantly higher than when he's not, because Kerr would get the number one tag, whereas without Kerr, Shuey's left a bit more open and will probably cop that number one tag because he's so dangerous. Him and Gaff are the ones that you'd shut down on. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what his ceiling is. I'm not quite sure whether he can average 110. He is definitely underpriced. He had the red vest in two of his games last year. Yeah, definitely underpriced. So from that perspective, he could average 110, 115 with a good draw and a good West Coast season and be an absolute brilliant pick by someone that has the guts to do it.
I mean, it's crazy how much our perspective on Shuey has changed in just a year. I mean, last year when we looked at him, we'd gone 74, 6 games, 95, 22 games, 103, 19 games. Next step's 110, and West Coast are going to do really well. But all of a sudden, once Kerr's gone, he does become a lot more riskier selection.
I encourage people to have the guts to take him. I probably don't, but it could work out.
Who do you prefer out of the North Melbourne boys and Shuey? That'd probably be the more relevant question, I think.
That's a really tough one. I think I'd take Shuey based on the buys and the draw. If I had to say who I think will have the highest average for the year, Del Santo's a safe bet, and I'd punt on Zeebel.
So we probably run out of time, Mark, because I spent quite a bit of time looking through those midfield premiums, but they are important every year. They form the nucleus of our team, the highest scoring players in our team. So, and it's probably the easiest to get a good gauge on those sorts of players because we roughly know what we're going to get from them. It's more who we like more and identifying potential pitfalls, whereas maybe the other spots on the field, you're probably waiting to see a bit more of the preseason and how the team's playing together and how the form's doing. So, yeah, glad we got to talk about these midfield premiums. They're always fun to talk about, the high-scoring players.
Yeah, it certainly is. Still not 100% sure what I'm going to do. I probably have Ablett, Beams and Murphy locked in, though, so I don't have a whole lot of spots left.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very tough picking this year. We'll probably try and be back around Wednesday night or so to look at probably the first seven games of the NAB Cup. So stay tuned for that and enjoy the preseason games. It's brilliant to have one every single night.
It is, and I'll see you then, mate. Don't want this get crazy. Don't want this get crazy. Let's get crazy.